Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
In additional hallelujah, we got Macaroni Bologna Mac Robinson on the board. We got Jax Gregory, sweet young thang, behind the glass today. And Big Weege, Jake Volnick on the 20s today. And across from me, some call him potato salad. I just call him the Germinator. Spencer German back again. What's up, buddy?
That was good. You're getting this Germinator thing down. I like the way you're like mixing and matching. Threw in Ken's nickname for me. It's I like it.
Well,
it's fitting.
Listen, I screw things up the first time, almost every time. Same first kiss with my beautiful wife. Screwed it up. Had to ask for a second take. Nailed it the second time. Third time.
Wait, you had to actually ask, like, can I try that again?
Yeah. It's pretty good. Smooth, actually. That's it was good. Actually, considering that I had flinched because of a firefly that was near her car and it buzzed my ear. And I had to go back. Hey, I'm going to need a second pass at that. And then we had three kids. Not at once.
She got the butterflies from the second one.
I mean, how could you not? Look at me. We got the Terry Francona news to react to. We've got the Browns Commanders, the Browns versus the Commies. Although I've noticed people who tweet a lot about socialism and commies can't tell the difference between there, and there, but that's neither here nor there. And then we've got Guardians Tigers game one. I want to do a double vibe check here. Never done this in a Football Friday. Double vibe check, double sided vibe check, even. Game one, Gardo's vibe check, Browns Commanders vibe check. Go. I'd rather pick it up there. Really? I mean,
I didn't expect it to come back to me so quickly, this volley. Browns.
That was Spencer's way of saying I talk too much.
Browns vibe. Yeah, I thought you had more in you. I was like, okay, he's just going to roll here.
Phrasing.
Yeah.
So the vibe check.
Browns wise, I'm actually feeling pretty good.
All right, we'll get to that in a second.
I'll explain why. Guardians, I'm a little nervous. A little bit nervous.
Are you living in your fears nervous? Is this a general, the playoffs are really hard kind of nervous? Or is there a specificity to your nerves?
So I agreed with you earlier this week that the team I would have rather faced was Detroit.
Detroit?
Just the Astros lineup has been a house of horrors for this organization. Horrors.
Okay.
Just to make sure. I know I said that on the podcast. Sons of the Shoe, by the way. Subscribe wherever you get your podcast.
Listen, both of those houses are totally okay.
Yeah.
Horrors and the other house? Both fine. Yeah. But we just want to make sure we specify on a family
Nick
show.
Nick is, he knows where to find the second ones, apparently.
I believe WAP is the theme song of their.
I believe it's WAP, but close enough.
Same thing.
Yeah, I agree with you. Like, playing the Astros was not something I wanted to be a part of. That team has just seemed to own this franchise, particularly in the playoffs. I wanted no part of that lineup, no part of that pitching staff. Even though they got swept in the wild card round by Detroit, I just feel like that a series against the Guardians would have gone completely differently if that was a different matchup. So I wanted to play Detroit of the two, but now that we're like here and the game is tomorrow. And that we have to come to terms with the fact that Detroit is a very, very hot team right now, and they're playing some of the best baseball in the sport right now. It makes me a little nervous.
You are more of a panicky Pete than I am, though. Granted, I'm the person that said
you're
this.
Not nervous at all. Here's the other thing. I think the week off too. Like they always talk. I forget what the exact stats are, but there's people who've been sharing this week about how the teams that generally take that time off have a hard time kind of getting back into rhythm once they start playing again. And I think that's maybe the thing that I'm most sort of clinging to is why I'm nervous. But I still feel good because I think the Guardians are the better team.
So I think because they don't reseed in between wild card and ALDS round, they don't do any reseeding in baseball. I don't know why they don't move it up if there's sweeps involved. But the reason why this is just a huge weekend for Cleveland sports. And
yeah,
obviously game one, Gardos versus Tigers here in town. I know the Browns are on the road. I mean, even Ohio State, Iowa has some gravity to it. And you know, you and I have talked on the Sons of the Shoe podcast about...
Subscribe wherever you get your podcast.
Apple, Spotify, what have you. Have I mentioned Apple, Sons of the Shoe? Follow us today. But, I mean, I do think, like, I think it's going to be a really fascinating Monday on our collective moods, because I think we understand with Scooble starting game two. This game on Saturday feels a bit more like a must win, because this thing cannot go to Detroit. You down 2-0.
Detroit.
And, you know, for the Browns side of things, like, there are people who think, like, who look at this and go, a win versus the Commanders might save your season. At the very least, it probably saves your bid for an AFC North crown. You know, because if you get to four losses this early in the season, there's no way in hell you're getting
to... Yeah, it's too big of a hole to dig.
Yeah, I mean, like at least you're going to need at least 10 wins to win the AFC North.
So you have three losses left.
Yeah, it's probably going to take you, though, 12. If not 13, because it seems loaded. But I just continue to look at it, and I like... If you ask me, and this is something we talked about in the pre-show, I honestly don't know right now the answer to who needs a win more, Gardos in game one or Browns on Sunday. I think it's an impossible question, a Sophie's choice.
Yeah, I mean, Monday, you're right about Monday. Like, it could be either a really good Monday where all of Cleveland is just vibing off of a Guardians win and a Browns win. Or it could be like a sort of split the difference where one of them wins and you're feeling really good and everyone's talking about the Guardians playoffs because they're happy that they got a game one win and maybe the Browns lose or vice versa. Or it could just be a completely just like, well, classic Cleveland weekend where all of our teams just sucked. I think if you're talking, I mean, it is such a tough question to answer because on the surface, I think the Guardians game carries more magnitude. It's playoffs. You know, like you mentioned with Scooble pitching game two, if you don't win that game, what's waiting for you on the other side? And that's going to make for a nervous Monday if you don't take that first game. I think I lean Guardians because as much as a four losses makes for a very tough road ahead for the Browns, maybe the one thing I can cling to is that it's another NFC team and you still have all your division games to go and all those different things.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I think just because of the stage and because of, you know, getting off to a good start in that series, I think means a little bit more. I would probably lean Guardians, but it is a tough, tough question.
216-474-0092 or at Nick Wilson says, at Spencito _, which win and which game is more important for their team's respective hopes? Is it a Guardians game one win against the Tigers tomorrow or a Browns win against the Commanders? Listen, the math is still on the... Nobody wants to hear this. The math is still on the Browns' side. Not necessarily to win the AFC North, but even if you lose this game on Sunday, you've got 12 games left afterwards. So to get to 9 wins, let's say that's the bar. I think it's probably closer to 10 wins, but let's say it's 9 wins. You'd have to go 8-4. That is, if you're a good football team, 8-4 is wildly gettable. To get to 10 wins, you'd have to go 9-3. That's tougher to muster, but if you're a good team, it's not as if I can just find you 9 wins there, because I think that's a game that is foolhardy to play. Because that's not really how this works. Every single week, it's injuries are a factor. Every single week, it's, all right, are these quarterbacks playing? How is that team playing going into this game? But 8-4 and 9-3 are doable if you start 1-4. If you start 0-1 in this Tiger series, and you've got Scooble on the bump in game two, you might be on the way to Sweep City if you can't get this game one win.
So I looked this up just for fun. And
just for masochistic purposes,
you want to know how many teams in NFL history have started the year, the season 1-4, and then gone on to make the playoffs?
I'm going to say 13.
Seven.
At least according to
this Reddit page that I'm on.
Yeah.
It says only seven teams have started 1-4 and gone on to make the playoffs. This season, Chiefs, which was, this was a while ago, Texans, that doesn't matter. 2011 Broncos with Tim Tebow when they beat the Steelers in that classic overtime game. The 2002 Jets were one of them. They beat the Peyton Manning's Colts 41-0 that year. Mm-hmm. The 2002 Titans were another one. They beat the Steelers in a 34-31 overtime game. 1992 Chargers shut out the Chiefs 17-0. And then I don't see the other couple ones listed on here. But basically,
I think that's enough.
There's only been seven teams.
Oh. Yeah, I mean, here's the thing, though. That doesn't speak to the circumstances the Guardians have been in, or the Browns have been in. Like, I'm not trying to make excuses for the Browns. Them being 1-3 is unacceptable because you lost to the Giants and the Raiders. But at some point, like, because Jay Young on Twitter tweeted at us and said, the Guardians win because the Browns are cooked. They're not. At 1-3, they're not cooked. It sucks. And I'm not telling anyone you have to enjoy any of the things that we've seen the last little bit here. But, like, because this is a series of both teams are in dire situations. The math is still not entirely against you if you go with this, even with that what you just said. But you can also paint it. If I wanted to, I could say, well, if you get your tackles back healthy, Nick Chubb comes back, Myles Garrett can rest up a little bit, and all of a sudden, maybe Jordan Hicks can get healthy again. Like, all of a sudden, a healthy team might have a different level of ceiling, and the more football you play, theoretically, the better you should be if you're getting healthier instead of not getting healthier. So I can spin the Browns losing on Sunday in a myriad of ways. That doesn't mean we're going to like it. It doesn't mean you're going to feel good about it. I think we all understand the importance of taking that game one from the Detroit Tigers, or the Detroit Tigers, as some might call it. And I just, like, I think, and listen, I'm not trying to be Mr. Alarmist here. I think game one is dire situation for the Guardians, because here's the other thing. Getting back to the math, Browns have 12 games after Sunday. You might have two more. You know, like,
yeah.
A five-game series. If it was a seven-game series, I'd throw that. In a seven-game series, every game's a must-win series, but you really only need to win four of them, right? That's a bigger margin for error than what you're going into for the Guardians in this one. Specifically, if you're facing the hottest team in baseball, and I'll be honest with you, I think the sooner the Tigers lose, the sooner we find out how much they can keep that momentum going in the playoffs.
And I just think it's so much about like what the magnitude of losing game one and then having Scooble go game two looks like in a do or die playoff series. Yeah, you have four more of them, but like for the Browns, to your point, it's the optics of, yeah, you could, if you lose another one, that sucks, and people are probably going to say this team's done and the season's over and all these different things, but there are still, to your point, 12 more games for them to try to figure this thing out, still play all their division games, still play a ton of AFC teams, and we've seen teams sneak into the playoffs, especially with the expanded field, at like 9 wins. I mean, theoretically, you could make the playoffs as like an 8-win team if things fall a certain way. So, yeah, I think like there's a larger margin of error there. For the Guardians, it's like if you lose game one, I think it really is the doomsday scenario. And that's why I think, too, like if you ask the city, like just from a standpoint of like to feel good about one of these teams coming out of the weekend, which one matters more to you? I think they would just say in general that the Guardians game matters more, because if you come into the week with that one win under your belt, you kind of have a feel of how the rest of the series is going to go or what can kind of play out from there. You're kind of ahead of the eight ball. With the Browns, I think it's like, okay, if they don't win, it's whatever. There's so much excitement about this Guardians series right now and it being the playoffs that I think that just matters more to people right now.
216-474-0092. Want to hear from you guys on today's show. At Nick Wilson says, at Spencito underscore, more critical win, Guardians in game one or Browns over the Commandos. Mike and Commandos? The Commanders, I believe is what we call them.
That's a different type of
But some of those Commanders, I bet you feel comfortable going Commando. Mike and Menner, Isaac and Shaker, you guys stick there. We've got Brett Boone, Odyssey MLB Insider coming up at 2:40. Jason Pinkston, our Friday regular at 3:20, coming up at 3:20. Jim Costa of 97.1 The Ticket in Detroit at 4:40. I just kept thinking of Detroit. That's all that is in my head today because of Thomas and Shaker from yesterday.
Detroit.
And Daryl Ryder joining us at 6. It is a football Friday. It is an F-off Friday. More critical win, Guardians in game one or Browns over the Commanders. And somebody's feeling good about this game on Sunday. It's not the dunce that picked them to win last week. That's next on 92.3 The Fan.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.
On Sunday, either are pretty critical. Like, I'm in the camp of, because the brilliance of the Tigers' plans, if it works out, is that you could lose game one if you are rusty, and then you have to go face Scooble. That puts you in a extremely pressurized situation, and this team can press when they're pressurized. We saw that a lot in the month of August. With the Browns, it's math is, listen, I get a little annoyed at like the, why is everybody panicking? It's four games. Well, because there are four games that you should probably be 3-1 in that span, even if you did lay a turd egg on the field at home on Sunday against that first Sunday against Dallas. But I thought Jack CLE512 had a really good point here saying guards need to win because of the time off and because of Detroit's momentum. I think, and listen, Tigers fans are feeling themselves. They are on TikTok, on my TikTok right now. At Nick Wilson says, by the way, if you'd want to follow
along. Got a lot of Tigers followers.
They are, well, no, it's just they're, I basically made a video teasing.
Oh, mocking them?
Mocking a corgi. They did like, oh, you know, okay. The dog picks who's going to win the series. Yeah. And this a-hole corgi, who, by the way, love all dogs. Corgis are a little sus. My sister has a few corgis. They're a little sus. I'm just going to say
is
that.
Is there
love
any better
them.
Content, though, than like pets picking sports? Those videos have to do numbers every single time.
It's my most watched TikTok video.
It could be a cockatoo.
Video.
It could be a dog. It could be a cat.
It's my most watched TikTok
That's what
video.
I'm saying.
And it's me reacting to their video. But I digress. And Nick Wilson says, TikTok. Now, with that being said, the Tigers fans are feeling themselves right now, and they should, right? They were the hottest team in baseball in the regular season at the end of the season, and then they swept the Astros in two games. That's why I think it's also apparent to give them their first loss in the playoffs, because it's easy to be the hot team until you lose. And then one playoff loss, you do have an extra day in between, all of a sudden you can get dysregulated. I'm not saying that's what's going to happen, but I'm saying the earlier you give the Tigers their first loss, that's going to be the Tigers' first real challenge in the playoffs. You showed up with the Salt and Vinny's. Good for you. But like that's easy when you haven't lost a game yet. The game one does offer you the opportunity to give them that first loss, because then if it does dysregulate them, game two all of a sudden feels a little bit more winnable, and you would notice that in the first couple innings.
Yeah, and like for me, it really just comes down to the fact that Scooble is going in game two. I mean, the prospect of that, the idea that that's what's waiting for you on the other side, and the fact, like, we know how this town clings to every Browns game, and we spend the entire week flushing out sometimes plays that one single play that we think determine the game. Like, that's how much we get attached to every single Browns game. But that's also the beauty of the NFL, is like, the next week they can go win, and all of a sudden we feel good about things again, right? With this, though, like, the tenseness of the Guardians losing on Saturday, even though they only have to wait 2 days to play another game, nothing would be higher and worse than that. Not even a Browns loss on Sunday that you then carry throughout the whole week, and the tenseness of like, oh no, there's another one. Are they going to win on Sunday? Like, I that's kind of the way I view it too. It's just like, how much this city will be just in panic for two straight days until that next game comes if they lose this first game, versus a Browns loss on Sunday. Yeah, there's going to be that, because there always is, but I just don't think it carries the same weight. I'm with you. Like, they need this one desperately to get themselves back on track, get back into that rhythm that they were sort of establishing. That's always the big bugaboo with having the bye week here through the first round of the playoffs. Can you kind of get back in sync and get your body back in the routine that you're used to? Because we know baseball is that type of sport. So for them to start the playoffs on the right note, and to your point, to sort of punch the Tigers in the mouth a little bit and shock them after this hot streak they've been on to end the season, those two things are immensely important come Saturday.
Odyssey MLB insider Brett Boone coming up in about 13 minutes. We'll talk about Tito having a new job. Tito, welcome to Northern Kentucky. Also, we'll get into his thoughts on the must-win nature. There is a part, anytime you say must-win, it's the most overused phrase in all of sports. It just happens to be super right on both these games.
Just a must-not-lose, actually.
I've always said,
must-not-lose.
If it's not a must-win, it's a must-not-lose. Yeah. At the very least, should consider tying. 216-474-0092. Mike in Menor, what is a more critical win, Guardians Game 1 or Browns over the Commies on Sunday?
Gentlemen, how's it going?
Doing well, buddy.
Good, Mike.
You guys covered pretty much all the points I've been wanting to make. I got to say that I know it's a big Browns town and everybody's a big football fan around here, as am I, but I got to say Game 1 Tribe or Guardians is the more important game. Like you guys said, this is Game 1 of the playoffs. They're already in the postseason. Browns, I mean, if this was maybe week 15, the Browns were, say, 7-6, it'd probably be pretty close to the same. It'd be probably be about the same importance about winning. But right now, I got to say it's the Guardians. Detroit's got all the momentum right now. Cleveland's been sitting idle for a week. If we lose Game 1, we got to face the probable Cy Young Award winner in Scooble on Game 2. We got our back against the wall. We got to have an important win on Game 1 tomorrow. Gotta go with Guardians.
I love it, buddy. Appreciate you. Thank you so much, sir. I do think twofold. One, we're all looking for Russ tomorrow in Game 1. Two, I think what's interesting is if you go one and blank, when all of a sudden this becomes equitable. Because I do think if instead of 1-3, you're 1-4, looking to go 1-5, maybe all of a sudden maybe if you were 1-5, looking to go 1-6, that's when it feels like the you-know-what has hit the fan. I just think at 1-3, the thing that I really agree with Greg Newsom in that clip that we played, there are 13 weeks to go. Like, there's so much football ahead of you, and you know the slippery slope of the playoffs. The Astros and Orioles just found out the hard way about the problems of losing that first game at home.
I'll also say this. I think that the Guardians game matters to the city a lot more, because I think there's a lot of people who are already, I don't want to say checked out on the Browns, but they're already kind of accepting their fate in a way. Not that it's going to be their fate, but I just think there's a lot of Browns fans at this point who are like, yeah, they're probably done anyway. And so I think, like, this Guardians game carries a little extra weight too, because people are going into tomorrow with this idea of, like, we need something good in this city. We need something to feel good about with our sports teams, because the Browns have gotten off to such a terrible start. So if the Guardians can start with a win, like, I think that amps up even more why that game matters a little bit more than what the Browns game does on Sunday, because I think people are looking for that to be, like, the outlet, the avenue for their pain that they feel for the Browns right now is to be lifted up by a Guardians win.
Yeah, one win for the Browns is going to be, okay, do it again. One win for the Guardians in tomorrow is going to be, we're going to the World Series.
Right, yeah, exactly.
I do like that. Real
bring
quick
Bring on
here.
The Yankees is going to be the
Marky,
that's not me saying bring on the Yankees. That's me saying that people will say bring on the Yankees.
We clipped it already. Marky, real quick, buddy. You got 60 seconds. What do you got for us?
I say both games are crucial, and I'm going to just say go Guardians and go Browns. Listen, I can't see our Browns team going 1-4. They got to do something.
Marky,
I would tell Greg Newsom.
Marky, real quick, with respect, we did an or. I can't let you ride the fence here. Spencer and I are not right. Which one's more important? Which one's more crucial?
Oh, Guardians over the Tigers. Thank you.
Thank you. All right.
Marky Mark, let's go.
Not trying to jam you up there, buddy, but, you know, let's just be honest here. You know, this is some shows ride the fence, all right? The fence does not support my girth, okay? So that's not, that can't be this show.
A very, very strong fence.
They're going to have to reinforce
the fence from Jurassic Park.
Maybe pour some concrete. Like it's just not the right thing there. But start your game day with a Fan Bud Light tailgate show with Jonathan Peterlin alongside Anthony Lima live from the Neon Room at MGM Northfield Park this Sunday starting at 10 a.m. through kickoff at 1 p.m., we'll have your chance to win a football prize pack in Tap Sports Grill gift card. Make the Fan Bud Light tailgate show part of your game day routine on the radio home of the Cleveland Browns. 92.3 The Fan, presented by Valley Automotive Group, the Buckeye Law Group, and Sal's Heating and Cooling, Plumbing and Sewer. Get details at 92.3thefan.com. Brett Boone, longtime big leaguer and Odyssey MLB insider, will let us know how he feels about the Guardians going into this series and my inability to speak on 92.3 The Fan. We're going to continue on not just with the Guardians of the ALDS versus the Tigers, but Tito Francona, now the Cincinnati Reds manager. Yes, did not see that one coming. And right now we're joined by Odyssey MLB insider Brett Boone. Insider calls presented by Grainger. With supplies and solution for every industry, Grainger has the right product for you. Call, click Grainger.com today, or just stop by. Brett is also the host of the Brett Boone Podcast, featuring the most notable names in the MLB and around sports every single week. And Brett Boone now joins us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Brett, welcome to the show.
How you doing?
Doing very well. Thank you for joining us. I
got
to say,
you got it.
Did Terry Francona being the new Reds manager surprise you as much as it surprised us?
A little bit. I had heard, you know, through the grapevine that the Reds were looking for, you know, to make a big splash, someone with a lot of experience. Well, I think Terry fits that bill. I think he's one of the last of the old guards. You know, I put Bochy right now as kind of the last standing, someone that's managed in, you know, 20 years ago and has managed in the modern era. So I think with getting him to come out of retirement, I don't think there's any lose in that hiring. He brings instant credibility to the franchise. He's always been a player's manager. Every player I've ever played against, I never played for Terry, played against him a lot. Every player I've ever played for said he's a great guy to play for. So I think this is nothing but a win. I think in the meantime, it really the fans in Cincinnati will welcome this move. Great resume, and I think, you know, it's nothing but a win-win for the city of Cincinnati.
So I don't know how to put this because I think the Reds and Guardians organizations are kind of on the same level in terms of limitations from ownership and market size. Am I kind of being an a-hole if I ask, like, why didn't he wait for like a more premier job at this point in his career?
Well, I think you see something there, you know, with Elly De La Cruz and his ceiling. You know, for me, I look around Major League Baseball, and I said this a few years ago. There are great players all over the place. Obviously, Shohei Ohtani, what he's doing, the Mookie Betts, Freddie Freeman, Juan Soto, what he did in New York this year, Bobby Witt. But the one guy I thought that was just better than everybody else and could reach numbers, historical type numbers, is Aaron Judge. And this year, we saw it. He almost hit 60 home runs again. He hit 323 in an era where people don't hit 300 anymore. I see Elly De La Cruz changing the game like an Aaron Judge can change the game, because not only does he have that type of power, that type of frame, I don't know, he's 6'6", 6'7", whatever, and he's so young. I mean, he's still going to fill out from a power perspective. So if Elly continues to to mature with experience and get better, as I expect he will, this guy could be the next big thing in baseball. So I think Terry sees that. He sees the city, the legacy of the Cincinnati Reds, and it was right place, right time. Kind of similar to what Bruce Bochy did. He stepped away from the game, Hall of Fame managing career, took a few years off. All of a sudden, the right spot in his mind was available in Texas, and he took it, and he ended up winning a World Series. It, kind of a Cinderella story, his first year back. But I think Francona, for whatever reason, he just felt that he was a good match for that Cincinnati Reds organization.
Brett Boone, former MLB star, our Odyssey MLB insider, joining us on the show.
He's still a star. Jeez.
Well, yeah, but he's not like a star in terms of playing
player.
The game.
Okay.
Yeah, that's all right, man. He knows he's still a star.
Guy up. He's joining us here.
He doesn't. He knows he's still a star. Brett, we were just talking about the magnitude of this first game for the Guardians against the Tigers and what it would mean to start off with a win, especially with the potential Cy Young winner waiting in game two to go against you. But one of the biggest problems with this new playoff format is that these teams get a long kind of week off before they play, and we know how difficult it can be to kind of get yourself back into that routine that baseball players are so used to. As a former player yourself, like, what is the best way, from your perspective, to combat that layoff and be able to just kind of get yourself hitting the ground running after a week off from the game?
Well, I don't think there's any rhyme or reason to it. You know, I think for us as analysts and in the media, if they laid off and they lose, we're going to say, oh, it's because they laid off and they weren't ready. If they lay off 3 or 4 days and they win, oh, they needed that layoff. It was good for them to get healthy. So I think it's a catch-22. I don't think there's any rhyme or reason. I don't think there's, yeah, this is a good idea or it's not. I think it's individual. It's the season, your particular roster. How banged up was your roster going in? Were you healthy? Were you not healthy? For the teams that were a little bit banged up with a couple of their key players, this four-game rest is really welcomed. For those that are healthy and are playing really good to end the season, you don't want to stop playing. So I think it's a very individualistic, and I don't think you can just kind of paint it with a broad brush as it's either great to have the layoff or it's not. I think it's just team by team, year by year. It's an individual thing.
Odyssey MLB insider Brett Boone on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Insider calls brought to you by Grainger. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers professional-grade supplies and solutions made for every industry and backed up by product experts. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. So, obviously, a lot of Yankees fans looking at this like this is a heck of a easy path to a World Series. But when you look at the other three teams, the three AL Central teams, of the Guardians, Royals, and Tigers, who do you think actually has the best chance to not just beat the Yankees, but win the whole damn thing?
Wow. You know, I'm never, since I've been doing this last 3 or 4 years, I'm never surprised. You know, I think I can analyze it and look on paper and who should win. And every year I'm scratching my head, go, how did that happen? You know, not the fact that Detroit won. I think they won 31 out of 42 to finish the season to sneak into the postseason, and they were hot. And you've got that X factor. For me, there's one X factor in this postseason above everybody else, and I think that's Skubal for the Detroit Tigers. He's that dominant right now. Detroit, wow, it's a great matchup against Cleveland. Cleveland's just kind of, you guys all year have been kind of under the radar, just kind of one of the best teams in the game, but not talked about a lot like the Phillies or the Dodgers or the Yankees. Kansas City snuck in at the last minute. They've got limited star power on the offensive side, but, man, Reagans, Lugo, and Waka, they're kind of underrated to me. I watched Reagans pitch the other day. He was outstanding. Lugo's like a technician, a kind of a throwback, doesn't just rely on velocity, and Waka's that grizzled veteran. So Kansas City's going to be tough. You look at those three, and it's kind of like Cleveland, Detroit, and Kansas City really has nothing to lose. The pressure's on the Yankees, the mighty empire. You know, every year it seems like you know, that fan base, it's World Series or nothing. Well, it's 2024. That's not really realistic. It's not the old days when other teams can spend just like the Yankees spend. So who could win it all amongst the other three? If I had to, just the body of work, I think the Guardians, when I pick those three with the Yankees out of the equation, I think the Guardians and the San Diego Padres in the other league, I'll give them equal footing on this. I think they've got the best bullpens. And in the postseason in 2024, bullpens play a big role. Class A, for me, is the best closer in baseball, has been for a lot of years now. But that bullpen as a whole in Cleveland's really, really lights out. So if they get a lead early in the game, Cleveland's got the most that bullpen that is above and beyond the rest of these guys in the American League. Detroit, very formidable bullpen, but not quite Cleveland. Yankees, I'm a little concerned with Holmes. He's been their closer for the last 3 or 4 years. This year, he was shaky down the stretch. He's kind of in that role. He's out of the role. And when something like that happens to a bullpen, not from a physicality standpoint, from a mental standpoint, it can disrupt that bullpen. So I'm a little concerned with the Yankees and their bullpen, but Cleveland's as solid as it gets.
So, Brett, off of that, as you say that the Guardians are the best of the other three teams with a chance to win it all, I'm going to give you sort of an if statement here. The Guardians win the World Series if...
Dot, dot, dot.
Ooh. If the key factor for the Guardians, Kwan at the top of the lineup. Is he the Kwan in the first 3 months of the season or the second half? You know, I think in June, Kwan was hitting close to 400. He finished at 292. Just like a rise in San Diego for that Padres team, Tatis, Machado, they get a lot of the fanfare because they're hitting the home runs. Ramirez, and should get the fanfare in Cleveland. He's been a perennial MVP candidate with Naylor now hitting 30-plus home runs. They're going to get the headlines. But the key, I think, for San Diego, just like Cleveland, is the top of the order. I can't tell you. In my career, I hit third, I hit fourth, I hit fifth. And when you have a leadoff hitter that can put together to open a game, a 6, a 7, 8 pitch at bat, it does wonders for the guys coming up after that. Kwan has the ability to do that just like Arise does. So for me, if Kwan steps up in the postseason and has a big postseason, that's the reason.
Brett, you mentioned Jose Ramirez. We've kind of been having the conversation here at the station this week about just his Hall of Fame case and what a World Series would do for that. Would you say at this point in his career, Jose Ramirez is already a Hall of Famer, or does he need something like a World Series in his trophy case to get there?
Yeah, I think when it comes to baseball, I don't put much stock into do you have a World Series win or you don't. Some of the greatest players I've ever played against, Ken Griffey Jr., never, let alone didn't he win a World Series, he didn't get to go to a World Series. So that has nothing to do with it. The greatest player I've ever seen, bar none, is Barry Bonds. He never won a World Series. So I really don't put the stock like they do in the NFL with quarterbacks on baseball players and if they won a World Series. I think you won a World Series, that's a big team concept that one individual has nothing to do. One thing in baseball you can do if you're a great player is just eliminate you from the equation. We don't have to pitch to you. So there's only so much a Barry Bonds could do to get him to the World Series. Yeah, he's a force. He's going to be on base all the time. But if you want, you can take the bat out of his hands. Unlike in the other sports, when you can't take the football out of the great quarterback's hands, Mahomes' hands. So he has a little bit more of a say on whether they win a Super Bowl. So I don't put much credibility into you've got to have World Series wins because I don't think it's what makes the player. Ramirez right now for me, he's got to do it for a little bit longer, but quietly, and the only reason is because he's in Cleveland, he doesn't have just mass adulation. This guy is an awesome player. I love watching him, and year in and year out, you just look up at the end of the season, how did Ramirez do this year? And his numbers are always top. He's always in the MVP talk, and he's going to be again this year. You can't do it this year with Judge and Soto, what they're doing over in New York. But, man, this guy's just a great player. And I think right now he's definitely on that Hall of Fame track. He's got to do it for a few more years.
Brett, we got about 30 seconds here, but my co-host wants to eliminate the two different leagues having their own MVPs. So if you had to choose between Shohei's season and Aaron Judge's seasons for the ultimate MVP this year, which way are you leaning?
Judge, hands down. It's not even close.
Whoa. Hands down.
All right. That
not
is a spicy
close,
bit of meatball
not
there.
Not even close.
Love that.
It's not even, you know why it's not close?
Why?
Because Aaron Judge is running out and playing center field every day. It's a different ballgame when you're doing that.
All right. I give it to
Shohei,
you.
Shohei, unbelievable. Shohei, unbelievable. And when Shohei starts pitching again, he's going to be the MVP every year. he's a number one starter putting up these numbers. It's then it's not even close on the other side.
Excellent stuff, Brett. Appreciate you, buddy.
Thanks, Brett.
You got it, guys.
Brett Boone's going to be joining us as long as the Guardians are in the playoffs here, so hopefully we get to see him multiple times
all
more.
All the way in the World Series, baby.
But that was Odyssey MLB Insider Brett Boone. Insider calls presented by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. When we come by, we're going to talk about Terry Francona heading down to Northern Kentucky on 92.3 The Fan.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.